and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into a Friday edition of Inside the Locker. We're waiting for this weekend for a long time. Ryder Cup's already started. Got great football over the weekend. Even a pretty good game tonight. Florida State goes to Virginia. So a lot to look forward to over the weekend. And nice that the weather's a little bad today, so you can kind of hang in there and watch the Ryder Cup this morning. 205-342-9904 if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. The X account's at LockerRoom109 at Barry Sanderson at Wimp Sanderson 1. Our email is wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern Wood. Always remember, guys, you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. And if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you? This is when our TV needs to be working in the studio, Chase. So I don't know what you got to do to get that going. But tonight, this, normally in the mornings, there's not anything to watch other than SportsCenter. But this morning, there is. So I have it on my phone here. But Dad's probably got it on his 70-inch there. Good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing okay. I want to say to our listeners that I understand this is more of a football show. And we're not going to go through and give scores all day because it's just started in the Ryder Cup. But it is for our country. We're very fortunate to have Jerry Pate on at 7:30 who played in it. A great catch for us. I did everything I could to get a football guy on. Roman Harper could not be on. Couldn't get him on. So we'll have Jerry on to talk about it. And I'll just say this to you, and then I won't say much more. Thomas, the JT, teed off today with DeChambeau as his partner against Rahm and Manhattan, and through four holes, JT and them are one up. That's all I'm going to say. And I won't be giving scores throughout the game, throughout the session. Unless somebody just run off with it. Scotty and them are playing well. So we'll leave it at that. But it is for our country, and I think our first guest will be a very – he's a friend, and I was – standing by him when he won the U.S. Open. I'll tell that story later. But anyway, I realized that, you know, the football part of it is important to more of our fans than golf is, and I certainly don't want to take anything away from that. Seahawks won last night 23-20 over the Vikings. East Carolina, who has the athletic director, who's a friend of Barry's, and close by East Carolina, had a good win over Army 28-6. The College Football Playoff Committee has decided that they will stay with a 12-team playoff situation throughout 26. And that's really about all I had at tonight. Barry has mentioned that Florida State and Virginia plays, but that should be a good game. There are a couple of other games. Houston and Oregon State also play. For most of you who are excited about the game tomorrow, we'll see 6:30 on ABC and ESPN. ESPN 3 to have it, but it's, you know, ABC is the best place to get it. The Alabama Georgia game, the Auburn Texas A&M game, will at 6:30. Auburn Texas A&M game will be at 2:30 on ESPN. So those are our two local teams, like local state teams. But should be a very interesting weekend for football for the SEC. So we welcome your calls and your comments. We'll talk a little bit at 7:30 about the Ryder Cup, and then we'll leave it at that when Jerry comes on. So if you have calls about football, you're welcome to call and say what you think. I will say to you, as you watch it, or as you watch it, they're an alternate shot, which is very hard. Barry hits one, wherever he hits it, I go and hit where his ball hits. So it's quite, that's called alternate shot. So that's about it. So anyway, I don't know of a whole lot more that I can say. I've been up trying to get it ready, and pretty much, I think the injury wise for the football is about the same as it was. It hadn't changed any yet. And it's for my Alabama Georgia game, not anybody really bad injury, but Alabama did lose a couple of players. That's it, Barry.
So the Ryder stuff going on, and to me, there's nothing better than. I mean, I like individual sports, tennis, golf. The guy goes out there, but when it's a team sport, you got to work together as a team. Seeing these guys pulling for one another, guys that aren't even playing, maybe in these rounds, they'll be there waiting on their teammates. Something about team sports, just. You got to, you know, work together as a team. You're depending on the other guy to do his job, do what he's supposed to do, take care of himself. There's something about that to me that's more enjoyable than individual sport. And golf normally is an individual deal. There are a few events that turn into team sports. So I think that's kind of what makes maybe these Ryder Cups. You bring these guys together. I think these guys are probably all friends, but for this weekend, it's a team deal. It's us against you, and I think that's what makes it fun for me.
You think about pressure, doing a good job of throwing the football against pressure, against defensive people coming in on defense, and that is hard. But I'm telling you right now, I had a good fortune of getting to go to the Ryder Cup. When you go up from those thousands of people to try to tee the ball up, I don't care whether you're pro or not, it is an absolute pressure-packed situation for your country. They've made a big deal. Jack Nicklaus didn't quite make it that big a deal quite as much. He tried to downplay it a little bit, I think, and I want to ask Jerry about that. But Jerry did play on the 81 team, 81 Ryder Cup, but more than that, I think. It won the U.S. Open, won the amateur golf. Barry's exactly right. When you skip yourself and not playing for yourself, and you've got your partner, and you and your partner are playing for your country, and you go through a 3-day period, it's a big deal. So we'll do everything we can to get you just to know what's going on with JT. Outside of that, we won't bug you with it. But happy to have you call in to Barry and ask any football questions that you would like to ask. We've got a really great, great weekend of football. I think a better weekend than we have had with Tennessee at Mississippi State and the Kentuckys at South Carolina. Both of them struggling a little bit. Now South Carolina is somewhat. Notre Dame coming to Arkansas is huge. Because you get Notre Dame to come. Arkansas is a better team than people think. They're very, very good, offensively. Utah State at Vanderbilt won't be much. LSU and Ole Miss is a rivalry game that should be great. I talked with Jimmy Rain last night, and boy, Auburn people are upset. Oh, are they upset.
But John Cohen they got to turn the page. He put out a statement last night. That's ridiculous to me.
I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. But he was just saying that about the other things besides the running off the field and staying on the field play was the pass defense, the pass interference and the goal lines. And anyway, it was just a lot of stuff.
Well, no, John Cohen put out a statement last night, and it's about how disappointed they are with the officiating. And I'm sitting there thinking, guys, it's Thursday. Like, you got to play Texas A&M on Saturday. I mean, at some point, let it go. Like, what are you accomplishing by the athletic director putting out a statement about that on Thursday when you got a game on Saturday? I didn't get that. I thought it was bad.
Jimmy called me last yesterday afternoon. I appreciate him calling me to check on me, and we just got in that discussion, and you know, he was talking about it, and so I didn't know that the article was written last night, but
I saw Jimmy was stepping down, or not stepping down, but so I saw that in the paper this morning.
Yeah, he's kind of backing off a little bit and letting somebody else handle it there. So I appreciate Jimmy being as nice to my family as he was, and as nice to me when I need a job. I appreciate it. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
All right, back to the Ryder Cup real fast, because people talk about playing with Scheffler. Is that Tiger played in 37 matches in the Ryder Cup. You want to make a guess on what his record was?
He didn't do well. I don't know what it was.
You got to guess. In 37 matches, maybe you can tie as well. You want to take a guess on what Tiger's record is in the Ryder Cup?
I have no idea. He didn't do as well.
Chase, you got a guess? He was 13, 21, and 3. In the Ryder Cup. People say, why? Well, they said probably people, when you play with him, there's such a crowd there, and you're nervous playing with Tiger, and you wanted to please him. And so 13, 21, and 3. I think they said Scottie Scheffler was 3, 2, and 3. So if you take the three ties, that's really a point and a half that you won. So he has a winning record there. But it's pretty interesting. You would think Tiger would have dominated the Ryder Cup, and actually it was the exact opposite. All right.
Well, the problem you have, Barry, is the alternate shot. If I hit it in the woods and Tiger's got to get it out, you know, or whatever.
You're probably nervous playing with him, too. You want to please him and, you know, all that. So the format probably wasn't great playing for him. Plus, if you're playing with him, the crowds that are following you, you're probably not used to that. Two-minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you. 205-247-5050. Two-minute truck, movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. A resurfacing project is underway on a section of I-22 in Walker County. That stretches from the Marion County line to near Exit 40 north of Eldridge. Throughout the project, at least one lane will remain open in each direction. But according to Almont, there could be intermittent delays. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It is a speed limit ride for your commute if you are traveling most places. Now, I do see where we have a report of a stalled vehicle on Skyland South, or make that northbound Skyland Boulevard. The off-ramp to 359, it is partially blocking that off-ramp without
the soft, fluffy, irresistible Kings of Wine sliders that make them a winner on game day. Pick some up this weekend in the bakery or deli section of your grocery store. Kings of Wine. There's nothing like it.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. A small chance of a shower this afternoon, the high 83. For tonight, clear and pleasant, the low 62. The weekend, warm and dry. Partly sunny tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 84 and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I get right to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning, man. It's wet down here. We got some much needed rain last night, man.
Well, that's good.
Glad to get it.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, hypothetical for you. And good morning, Wimp. Hope you're good.
I'm okay.
Hypothetical for you, Barry. If somebody called you on the phone, well, if somebody called Jenny on the phone and said, look, I've got two tickets to the game tomorrow night in Athens and got a parking pass for you, and Jenny called you here in a little bit wanting to go, what would you do?
I'd tell her, let's sell them. We ain't going. I ain't got nowhere to stay. It's hard. I coached at Georgia for 1 year. I've been to plenty of games in there. I'm going to enjoy more watching it on my TV than I would be trying to drive all the way. I don't like driving to Atlanta and trying to find a place to park and all that. Well, you got a couple tickets?
No, I was just wondering what you tell Jenny.
Yeah.
I didn't know you coached at Georgia. When did you coach at Georgia?
That was my second job, 19.
I got in that job at Hugh Durham.
1991. So the Terrell Green, Charles Claxton, those Terrell Green was there. I don't know if you remember little Terrell Green, but
and Coach Durham, I mean, he did a great job down at Jacksonville, University of Jacksonville, and I don't hear anything out of him anymore.
I think he lives in Jacksonville still, doesn't he, Dad? Do you?
Yes, he has two homes, one up north, and he has one in Jacksonville. You know, he offered me a job, and I went down to. When I was assistant coach for so long, he tried to hire me down there, and we went down for an interview, and I decided to stay at Alabama. But
Jacksonville?
He was at Florida State.
Oh, with FSU.
He was there. He wanted me to come. I was recruited against him, and I was assistant coach, and he was going to hire me as assistant coach down there. So
every time you had a pregame meal, after the meal, they'd call coach, and he'd come in, and he would speak to the team. Guys, he would talk for like an hour. Some guys would be nodding off, falling asleep. An hour speech after eating. Yeah.
This game tomorrow night, I think Martin's right. I was able to listen to his show just right there towards the end. It's all going to come down to blocking and line play and protecting the QB. I really believe that. Sure, the team that can do that more consistently is going to have a great advantage. Alabama might have some explosive plays, and Georgia will too, but I think by and large it's going to be a trench warfare type game. How do you feel about that?
Well, look, the question I asked on another show, will Georgia rush with the abilities that Oklahoma rushed against Auburn? And I thought it was a good question, and I think they thought it was pretty good too. So I don't know that they will. If you rush the quarterback that Alabama has and you don't do the job that you need to do, he'll burn your fanny. Because Alabama's got great receivers, and he throws the football right in their hands. So it's going to be interesting to see. And, of course, you know, we would say that Georgia's going to get to him. But if they don't get to him all the time, he's got chances.
Yeah, he did against the last two home runs. This is his first SEC start on the road at Georgia. I don't think he's going to be quite as accurate as he was here against these two teams that they played here in Bryant Denny Stadium. So they better protect him.
Have you given your prediction yet, Bear?
Not. I'm leaning Georgia in this game, unfortunately.
I am too.
So
I'm leaning Georgia. How about Wimp? I guess Wimp will be doing his later on.
Yeah, he'll be doing this. I'll ask him. That won't be his blue plate, I'm sure, but we'll get him to give us his opinion on it as well at the end. So
look forward to it.
Thank you,
Phil. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you Monday.
Thank you. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Good
morning, Coach. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
Good. Coach, you know, the one thing that I do not like about the Ryder Cup is alternating shots.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't like that format, and it favors the Europeans every blame time.
Well, I don't know that it favors, but favors it. I don't know about that, but it's difficult.
It favored the home team, but.
Well, how would you want to play it?
I would go individual, four ball, individual. That would be my.
Yeah.
Preference.
Yeah.
And I would be interested to see what Jerry Pate says, what his opinion of alternating shots. I think the players kind of like it, but I would be interested in his take on that.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
No, I'll ask him. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what else you got, Tom?
Well, the Auburn thing, can I say something about that?
Yeah.
Sure.
And y'all may have covered this already.
I thought it was ridiculous that they're putting out a statement on Thursday.
I had gotten a call last night from Jimmy, and they were pretty much upset about the officiating. Go ahead.
I can understand it, though. I really can. Not the statement part, but being upset. But what gets me, Coach, is if you watch the game, they had three pass interferences down there.
Ridiculous.
And they didn't call them.
Yeah.
The stupid thing to me on the referee's part is they had three glaring pass interferences, and they didn't call. And the fourth one they called, and then Auburn scored, which I was glad they scored. But the stupidity of having three glaring pass interferences, and they don't throw a flag till the fourth one. It's so incompetent. Everybody is.
I wonder if they put out a statement. John Cohen did yesterday. We got to get to Jerry Pate, but. Do they do that? So then any close call, that official's going to think, no, God, we cannot mess this up again. And they'll get the benefit of the doubt if he calls this weekend.
I would. It's better help him.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm sick of those bad calls.
Yeah.
And it's every game.
Yeah. So thank you, Tom. All right. Tom. You looking for food for the weekend? Thomas Rib Shack. Go to thomasribshack.com. Great eating there, great soul food, great barbecue, great fish, great pork chops, whatever you want there. These guys will absolutely take absolutely great care of you. You can call in if you want to pick a catering order. You can go pick that up and take care of everybody at the house. Or if you want a big deal for next weekend for the tailgate, just give them a call. 205-759-5010. We'll get to Jerry Pate next. That's the Tide 1.9. 1230 WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It is a speed limit ride for your commute if you are traveling most places. Now, I do see where we have a report of a stalled vehicle on Skyland South, or make that northbound Skyland Boulevard. The off-ramp to 359, it is partially blocking that off-ramp without...
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Inside the Locker Room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. All right, we'll get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He obviously played golf at the University of Alabama, U.S. Open champion 1976. Dad, I'll let you bring Jerry Pate into the show.
Yeah, I'd like to bring him in because what a player he is. Booger Bear, he is a, was a player and still is, but he won the U.S. Amateur. He won the U.S. Open with me standing beside him. I'll tell you that story. He won the Canadian Open. He won the Players' Championship. I ain't going to spend the whole time him with all he did. He was absolutely terrific. And he's in Atlanta, and I'm following him. And he gets to the 18th. He gets to the 18th green. He's going to win it. He's trying to decide the club. I don't know. He's going to correct me, but it's either six or five to hit on the green. He's going to win it. Everybody says he pulls it. Well, he pulled it all right. He pulled it for a cotton picking birdie. he makes birdie on a cotton picking thing when he's got to make it. And when he gets through, back then they making his picture. Guess who's in the background? I am. Every time they made Jerry's picture, I was in the cotton picking picture. What a player he was.
I'm sure he blacked that part out.
Yeah, he blacked that part out. Yeah, we're tickled. And he, of course, he was on the Ryder Cup in 81. Ryder Cup with Trevino and Jack Nicklaus. So, Jerry, we're happy to have you on. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Wimp. I'm actually finally got back home to Pensacola last night. I've been in West Point, Mississippi, working on the old Waverly and Mossy Oak golf courses that a group of us, some Alabamians, in fact, are partners, and we bought it from the Bryan family. The Bryans are still a partner, but we bought it last September, and we've redone the Mossy Oak golf course. So I've been working on that for about a year now, but glad to be back home in Pensacola.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show. I just, your career was so good. Talk a little bit about, I'm not going to get into the individuals because we'd be all day, but talk about your Ryder Cup experience. I know y'all had a great one in 81, maybe another one, but talk about your Ryder Cup experience.
Well, ironically, when I went on the tour in 76, you had to be on the tour and get your, what was called your Class A PGA of America standing. PGA Tour is one organization, the PGA of America that runs the Ryder Cup, and the European PGA are the Club Pros Association. So they own those, they own that event. Totally different. So in the old days, they had it set up where young guys couldn't come on the tour and just get on the team. You had to be on the tour 3 to 4 years. So I actually qualified in 77 and 79, but couldn't play. I didn't have enough tenure. But when I played in 81, it was known as the Dream Team. We had Jack Nicklaus, Johnny Miller, Ray Floyd, Lee Trevino, gosh, Hale Irwin, Tom Kite, Ben Crenshaw. Gosh, who else? And I mentioned Ray Floyd, Tom Watson, Bill Rogers, who was Player of the Year, won the British Open, and Bruce Litschke and I. In fact, out of the 12 guys, the only guys that didn't make the Hall of Fame were me, Bill Rogers, and Bruce Litschke, which I had enough wins to be in the Hall of Fame, but I didn't play long enough. But Bruce Litschke was quite a player, won a bunch of times, like 12 times on the tour, and won the senior U.S. Open, and Bill Rogers, a British Open champion, Player of the Year in 81. And so, needless to say, we had a team that had something crazy like 50 major championships among us, and I got paired with Trevino. Got paired with Trevino. It's a great story. If you got a second, I'll tell you. So we lose the first day, and Dave Marr's our captain. He's got two cigarettes going in each hand and two martinis in the other two hands, and he's nervous. So Trevino says, I'll just take paid. Hell, he can't beat anybody over here without me caddying. So we're first out the second day. We're playing Faldo and Sam Torrance, the number one and number two player on their team. Of course, both of them are Hall of Famers. Both of them have been Ryder Cup captains. And, of course, Faldo's won all kind of tournaments, Sam also. So we go down the first hole. Trevino hits this little skanky drive. I hit it down the middle playing an orange golf ball. They're kind of left center, but I've outdriven everybody. So Trevino walks up to me, and I said, where'd you go, Bubba? He said, I picked up. I went, what? And he turns his head, he reaches in his pocket. He hands me his ball. He says, hell, I picked up. And he looks over at them, and he hollers. He said, you can beat these guys by yourself. And he yells it across the fairway. And they're looking at him like, we haven't hit but one shot, and he's already putting the lip wedge on them. So they hit it on the green, and he says, what you got? I said, I got about 190. He said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to cut this 4-iron in there. He said, you put that damn 5-iron in the bag, and don't you ever pull a club out unless I tell you. He said, you can beat them, but you can't caddy. And so anyway, I hit this 5-iron. It's right at the hole. We get up to the top of this blind shot on the first hole, and it's literally 6 inches from the hole. He goes to the guys, is that good? And they go, yes, good. So I birdied the first hole. He picks the ball up and tosses me my orange ball, and he kind of hollers at me. He says, I told you, Bubba, you can't beat them. You're too good. You can beat them by yourself. Well, hell, I birdied 2, 3, 4. I think Trevino birdied 5, 6. So we get to the 12th hole. We've won 7 and 5, which I think was a Ryder Cup record in the modern day. So they got to go to the clubhouse from the 12th green. So they throw the TV commentator down from Peter Allis to Clive Clark. He said, we have the great Lee Trevino and the youngest guy, you know, I was 27 years old, on the team, Jerry Pate. Tell us about it. Lee goes, man, I'm just witnessing some golf. You can't even believe this. And of course, my chest is bowing out. He said, this kid right here, and he puts his arm around my shoulder, is the greatest player in the world. And by that time, my head is about to explode. He goes, from the neck down, he's the dumbest son of a bitch I ever caddied for. he said if he could, and we have all this on tape, the BBC taped it, and I still have it at home. It's the funniest interview. He said, if this guy could caddy, he'd beat everybody. So anyway, we won twice playing Faldo and Oosterhaus and Faldo and Torrance. But Lee Trevino was the most unbelievable guy to play with on a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he was. I got to watch him hit balls when he came to Birmingham some, and he would talk. He talked all the time while he was hitting balls. He was real character, wasn't he? He just.
Oh, well, today when we get together at golf functions or outings, he'll always say, yeah, when I play with Jerry, we have to raise hands to see who gets to talk first. So anyway.
Well, talk about the golf's individual sport, but there you're in a team event there. It's different. And, man, I get chills this morning just watching those guys walk out as a team and pull it for one another. How exciting is that to be part of a team like that? And how much pressure actually is involved in that when you represent the United States?
Well, when you're playing individual, it's different than when you're playing in a team event. And it's going to be interesting this year. You know, it's kind of funny. I did a little homework this morning, started looking at the teams and analyzing them. And I thought for sure that Great Britain and Ireland, I've just been at the Walker Cup. It's Great Britain and Ireland now. It's a European team had an advantage. But when I started looking at the players, you know, we have 7 of the top 10 players in the world on our team. And when you start looking at some of these younger guys that are really, really, really strong players in their own right on our team, they've got some fine players as well. Don't kid yourself. You know, when you start looking at their team, when you talk about Roy McIlroy, mm-hmm. Justin Rose, who's, you know, in his mid-40s, but he's playing well. Yeah. Tommy Fleetwood just came off a win. And when you got John Rahm, who can really play, you know, Victor Hovland. I mean, these Sepp Straika, who went to University of Georgia, and he actually takes lessons from our folks at Old Waverly. He comes over and takes putting and short games lesson at our club. And but they've got some really good players. But when you start stacking up guys like and of course Bryson DeChambeau, I think Bryson has something to prove on our team. He's playing on the LIV Tour, and I think he has something to prove that he can be on our on our team and not be on our tour and still win. But Justin Thomas is strong, Colin Morikawa, and again, Scotty Scheffler is ranked number one in the world. That guy's like a machine. So we've got a lot of really good players. You know, local people would recognize the name Harris English, who is a, you know, Sea Island guy, University of Georgia. There's some really, really good players that are on our team. So I think it's going to be a really close match, but I think the U.S. is going to get a little advantage playing at Bethpage Black. That is a really, really difficult golf course. And so I think the younger you are, it's going to take its toll physically, I think, on some of these guys. Even though all these guys are in great shape, you get worn down when you're mentally stressed, when you're leading an event or in the hunt. And when you're in a Ryder Cup, you're in the hunt on every shot because you self-inflict pressure. And it's like going from a regular game in basketball, Wimp, to going to a national championship or the SEC championship. You have to get your mind out of the fact that it's really important and just play your game one shot at a time, you know, one time down the court at a time, and stay focused on your game and not the big picture. You know, get out of the 8,000-foot level and get into the moment. And so I think if our guys play their game and they play their game, I think we would definitely have an advantage.
Yep. I have always felt that, and I would have, we have a caller in, one of our good callers has called in, the alternate shot was a Booker Bear deal. The alternate shot is, you know, it puts the pressure on you. If you hit the bad shot, then I got to go in and hit your shot. It's a little bit quite different to me, the alternate shot. Comment on that for us.
Well, it's just you got to make every shot count. And when you hit a good shot and then your partner follows up with a poor shot,
yeah,
it puts the pressure back on him, not on you, because then if you recover and you hit a shot up there for saving a par, saving the hole, he still has to make the putt. And so it's sort of a pressure packed game and alternate shots. But in best ball, obviously, is fun to play, especially if you're on a roll and you have someone putting well. It ends up in any of these matches, whether it's the Walker Cup match that just was held in California, which is amateurs, Great Britain and Ireland against the U.S. team, or you're playing the Ryder Cup, it's all about who can make the putts when it counts. And it really, I'll compare it to basketball. It's like who makes the free throws in the end, you know, and everybody goes, oh, everybody can make a three throw. No, they can't, not under pressure. Everybody can make a 6-foot putt or a 5-foot putt. No, they can't. So, you have to stay in the moment and you have to stay focused at that time on your fundamentals to sit there and relax and knock in the 6-foot putt. You can't try to make it. You just have to go through your routine, and you have to stay in your routine, and that'll help you win. But when you get out of your routine and start thinking about mechanics, you're dead. You have to just zone out. And golf is a mental game. And I used to say you have to be either really dumb or really smart to play good golf. But anybody in between is hard because you start overthinking. My old coach, Wimp, you knew him, Conrad Raylan, used to call it analysis paralysis. Don't get analysis paralysis. Just play your game.
Yeah. And it was kind of amazing the bad record that Tiger had. He did not have a good record in the Ryder Cup. I don't know why that is. I don't want to comment. He's a great player, but he's
well, self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted, Wimp. He was the best, and he had to prove he was the best at the Ryder Cup, but he really didn't have anything to prove. Everybody knew he was the best. I just think he lost his concentration in some of the matches. Whereas when you play Jack Nicklaus, holy moly, I can remember on our team in 81, Dave Marr paired Watson and Nicklaus, who were the number one and number two best players in the world.
Yeah.
And Trevino, actually the second day, Trevino paired all the teams. He said, Dave, I'm going to put everybody together. I know these guys well. Trevino, I'll never forget it, saying, I'm putting Jerry with me because I can caddy for him. And then he goes, I'm going to put Jack and Tom together. That's an automatic point. Hell, they'll be scared just to show up on the first two, which it was. But, I think the crowd will factor into this. It's going to be a home court advantage for the U.S. because the fans out there on Long Island and Bethpage will be some kind of rowdy, I'll tell you. And to really a fault, I don't really like that. That's not the keeping with the game. The game is about etiquette. It's about gentleman sportsmanship. It's not like a football game where the louder you yell and the more you flash the lights, you have an advantage. I think golf is a different sport, and I hope it doesn't succumb to the point where people are hecklers and rude, which the Ryder Cup is the only place I've ever seen that, other than the Phoenix Open, where it's Waste Management Phoenix Open, and it's getting a little out of hand out there. But when we played, we didn't have the people that you have today. We played at Walton Heath, south of London, and it was a wonderful golf course, but we probably didn't have 10,000, 5,000 people maybe following, 5,000, where you'll have, what, 50 or 100,000 people, something crazy.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
Did you guys have, I know they have guys come in and speak to the team, motivational things. You know, Nick Saban used to do that here with his team. Any stories about that, about guys coming in? And did that help you guys when somebody would come in and speak to you?
Well, it's no question, but we didn't have any. Hell, all you had to do was look at who was on my team. They were speaking to you every day.
Yeah.
Again, they were in their 30s, late 30s, which seemed like they were ancient, and we were in our 20s. So we listened to every word and hung on every word. But even a guy like Nick Saban, don't kid yourself, he needs somebody pre-game to speak to about staying in the moment and playing your game. And even coaching football, you have a game plan, and if you're down 14-0, you don't get off your game plan. The game's already on. You can't change, you know, horses in the midstream. You have to keep playing your game. And so you can't say, well, I'm going to go cross-handed on the back nine putting because I missed a bunch of putts on the front nine. No, you just keep staying with it. You keep going. And the great sports psychologist Bob Rattell always talked about basketball. Bob was a good friend of mine, still is. I haven't seen him in years. I don't need any psychology anymore, Wimp, because I'm not playing. But anyway, Bob used to say, in the heat of the moment, when there was a timeout, they would put his best shooter out on the court, and the guy might have been 0 for 8. He'd say, give it to Bob over here and let Bob shoot it. And everybody'd look at him like he was crazy. He said, well, he's got the best average. I'm going to put the ball in the hand of the guy that has the best average. And so it's the same with golf. You have to stay with the horse that brought you. And there's so much psychology in golf. It's crazy. Every one of these guys are really, really, really great players. They all can have their day. But golf is such a fickle sport. You have to really – it amazes me to look at Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus's record. It amazed me to look at Hale Irwin and Bernhard Langer's records on the senior tour, where Hale won 45 times in 10 years. And Langer won 48 or 9, whatever he's won. And it's all focus. I mean, either one of them don't hit the ball any better than I do. That was their life every day, getting up, staying focused. And I think a lot of times golfers get to where they have a little success and then they get focused on other things. That was certainly the case with me. But in a Ryder Cup, when you have a guy like Lee Trevino pushing you, and you've got a great captain with Keegan Bradley. You know, he's a New York kid. And then you have, I tell you, it was kind of crazy. I didn't realize they have 5 vice captains. We didn't even have a vice captain, and I don't even remember when. I think Crenshaw, when he played at Brookline, had Bruce Litsky and Bill Rogers, in fact, who they were all, Bruce and Bill roomed together at Houston, and they played against Texas all the time. Ben was at Texas. They were Texas guys. So they were there. They were a Texas team with a Ryder Cup. But you have a lot of great guys that are supporting this team, and it's the same on the other side. Luke Donald was a fine college player. I think Luke went to Northwestern. I'm thinking he did in Chicago. But anyway, he was a good golfer in college and played on the tour and played well. So you have really, really strong leadership on both teams. I'm really impressed with a guy named Justin Rose, who came back. I saw Justin at Sunningdale Golf Club about 3 years ago, and I looked at him. I said, you're not going to go to the dark side and join the LIV Tour, are you? And he looked at me and he said, you know, Jerry, I have a little more gas in my tank. I think I can win again, and damn if he didn't. And he came back and won. And so, and then I'll say again, I think Bryson DeChambeau has a lot to prove being on our tour, coming on the LIV Tour, and John Rahm, who's on the LIV Tour, has a lot to prove over on their team. So it's going to be an interesting. If they have odds makers numbers. I'm sure are already out. Who's favored? Who's favored? Wimp, you probably know about that. Who's favored?
I would think maybe the U.S. is a little bit because of home court advantage. I would say of the crowd maybe just a little bit slightly, not much, but going to be. The great book was written. Golf is not a game of perfect. And that was written by Rotello, and what a great, that just shows what Jerry's talking about. Jack Nicklaus didn't seem to, he didn't try to get the pressure, I'm saying this wrong, but he tried to lessen the pressure a little bit, didn't he? It's just us against them, he gave the putt to Hayes. Had it one time. He was a little bit different, wasn't he? Oh, am I wrong?
Well, you got to realize, the matches started somewhere like 1927, and going back, the history of the matches, hell, I think the U.S. won so many times. They won 27 times now, but back in the late 70s, I think it was 79, that they allowed Great Britain and Ireland to bring on the European communities, which at that time you had Seve Ballesteros and you had Manuel Pinero from Spain and you had some other players. Bernhard Langer came on from Germany, and so they allowed them to play. Well, since then it's been pretty equal, but to date I think there's 27 U.S. wins and 15 of the European and Great Britain and Ireland. But back when Jack played, hell, he could play left-handed and beat those guys. He was so good. But Jack is an interesting cat, and Tiger's the same way. And I don't mean this to be said wrong. It's got to be the same with Tom Brady.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know Tom. I don't know Tom Brady, but I'm sure it's this. I know it is. I know Nick. They're selfish in their own lives because they're dedicated to winning, and people think they're selfish, but they're not selfish to others. But they are so focused, you would think they're selfish. Jack Nicklaus was so focused on Jack's day. I mean, we played team events, and we'd get on the bus to go to the golf course in those days, or even we played the U.S.-Japan team match with Jack. Hell, we'd wait 20 minutes on the bus for Jack. He was always the last one to get on the bus, and I'm sure Tiger was the same way. And it was like I heard stories back in the 60s when he and Arnold played together on the Ryder Cup, and it was always who was going to be last on the bus, Jack or Arnold, to see who was the king. And, of course, Arnold was always known as the king. But Jack was the real king. He was the best player of the era and probably of all times. But and I don't mean they did it on purpose, but they had their little routine, and they stay with their routine. And if it was a little longer than when it took everybody else to get on the bus, that's when he got on the bus. And again, off the course or off the football field, a Nick Saban and Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus have done so much for the game, but when it's time to get on the field, they've got this routine, and I promise you, you can ask anybody that's been around Nick or Jack, don't get in the way, because their routine is their routine. They're going to stay in that focus, and it's the routine that keeps you in the moment. When you get out of bounds and you start not playing your game, you're going to get beat, and that's the biggest fault I see in coaching. And Wimp, you know this. When you start changing things, you're going to get lucky if you win. You just have to dance with the one that you brought to the dance.
Yeah,
and you got to get to that moment. You've coached them the best you can, and they got to perform. Now they might not perform,
right,
and you might lose, but at least you didn't screw it up by overthinking it and overcoaching. And so that's what made Nick Saban great. Nick always stayed in the moment. Nick always drove the team with his process. And his process was the winning process. And I'm sure it's that way with Belichick, Tom Brady. I'm sure it was that way, in Coach Bryant's days. I know it was that way with Gene Stallings' days. And it certainly is that way with the great golf coaches and players. You stay within your game.
Lastly, we're talking with Jerry Pate. What would your advice be to Nick Dunlap? But he had great freshman year, really struggled this year. What would you advise him to do?
I would stay focused every day on trying to get better with whatever he's doing wrong.
Yeah.
I haven't really watched Nick since the last time I watched him. I saw him play once on the PGA Tour, but I went and watched him play at St. Andrews 2 years ago at the Walker Cup, and he played spectacular over there. But I think he's got a couple of things he could work on in his golf swing. And the problem is, once you have high expectations coming out of the box, you have to get better every day. Tiger Woods once said it, when he goes out every day and gets out of bed, he works on something that he needs to improve on, and he tries to get better every day. Again, I go back to coaching. You know, that's why coaches look at films. They look at films. They look at films. How do I get better? And in golf, a lot of times golfers get hung up on, well, I'm a pretty good player, and I just need to keep playing. No, because you keep playing and practicing, and you're working on the same faults. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the same results. You have to analyze where you're going wrong, and you have to have somebody outside of your own head, because what somebody who is a trustworthy teacher sees is not what you see and feel. Golf is a lot about feel. It'd be like free throw shooting. You know, a guy's got a little bit of a spin on the ball when he's shooting, wimp, and it hits a little bit off, and bam, it's going to sling it out of the rim. He needs to work on his technique. And you can always get better on your technique. For any golfer to say he's not going to change his swing and get better, he's fooling himself. So I don't know what Nick's struggles have been. I haven't looked at his statistics of where he's missing. Is he missing drives, greens, or is he, you know, bad on sand saves or what? But he needs to get with a teacher he can trust. And it's okay to change teachers. Yeah. You know, I went through a plethora of teachers when I got injured in 82. And, I mean, I worked with every great teacher you could name. But I finally got to a point where I figured out with all of them, they were saying the same thing. But how did I get my swing to a different degree that I didn't stay hurt? Because even though I had won these tournaments you talked about, I had some flaws in my golf swing that kept stressing my left shoulder joint, and it led to five surgeries. And basically, I was off the tour at 28 years old and went into other businesses. But I was lucky I had a 6.5-year run that was pretty dang strong. But I also was lucky I went to a great school like Alabama, and I got an education, and I had parents with college degrees. And I always tell these kids coming out of school, get your education, get a degree, because it won't last forever.
Well, DeCambo, you're doing another place too, aren't you? Working on another place, so overseas.
Yeah, I'm working in Dominican Republic. I just redid the Teeth of the Dog golf course and built a little golf course in London. We're working in Mobile, working in Mississippi. So,
well, I want to thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Terrific interview. Yeah. Boy, what an interview. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Wimp. Bye-bye.
Thank you. There's the great Jerry Pate. Well, he's been with some dudes. All right, that's it for this 7 o'clock hour. I want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
It's the Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTVC 10K Payday Giveaway. Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 425. That's 425. The code is 425.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on that win cash button for your chance to win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
the Seahawks improved to 3-1 after defeating the Cardinals in Arizona 23-20. Kicker Jason Myers hit a 52-yard field goal to walk it off for Seattle. Arizona struggled offensively in the first half, only scoring 3 points, but came alive in the second half and even tied the game with 28 seconds left in regulation, but it wasn't enough.
We just haven't put it together like I think we're capable of putting it together. Those are just words. It's my job to make sure that we put it together. So that's what we'll be working on.
That was Arizona head coach Jonathan Gannon. In baseball, the Dodgers clinched the NL West by shutting out the Diamondbacks 8-0. Shohei Ohtani hit home run number 54 on the season, which ties a career high, while the Mets defeated the Cubs 8-5, and the Reds stayed alive, edging the Pirates 2-1. So New York has a 1-game lead on Cincinnati and a 2-game lead on Arizona for the final wild card spot in the National League.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Hadn't been a bad morning, and just the smoothness just continues. On Skyland Boulevard, you do have a bit of patchiness between McFarland and 69. That's the norm. Also typical on 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard.
Portable diesel generators. True South Generators. 205-609-2642.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Okay, welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker. Appreciate Jerry Pate joining us right now.
Good.
USA is down in three of the four matches, so we're not trying to tell Jack it's going to be tough. Anyway, hopefully they can get that back. But Hatton and Rahm one up. Fitzpatrick, Aberg, three up. On team McElroy, them are four up. Cantley and Xander Schauffele are one up. And so they
How about Jake? Is JT down or is he even?
They're down. They're down one. So
okay.
All right, we'll get to the. We always like to talk a little Bryant Bank. And we got our main man, who is a former ACA Patriot, went to Ole Miss, Shelton State, Alabama. Baseball, David Kendry. Good morning, David. How are you, buddy?
Hey, David.
Good morning, guys. Y'all doing okay?
Well, last week, you followed Gene Stallings, and then this week, you follow a guy that won the U.S. Open. So great things always happen, David, when we have you on the show. You always get these great guests to follow. So, and then you're just as good as those guys. So we appreciate you being on with us this morning.
Well, I hope if y'all are like the pitcher that just had to zone in on the cleanup hitter in Gene Stallings and Jerry Pate, hopefully I get a couple fastballs after y'all put so much pressure or all that attention on those guys. But great interview by Jerry Pate, man. It's the stories and just listening to him talk about golf, you learn something.
Well, that's great.
Can you imagine you're playing with Lee Trevino in the Ryder Cup and he puts the ball in his pocket off the fairway? Says you can beat these guys by yourself.
That is unbelievable. And I mean, that interview where he's talking about, I won't share it, but I'd love to just hear that interview where he, as a 27-year-old at the time, you're sitting there with all these legends, living legends, and to hear him interview and play like that and just the confidence that must have brought him as a young player.
No doubt. Just real quick, baseball-wise, I know Alabama put out that they've got, I guess, two, I don't know what to call them, fall games, I guess. They got Lipscomb coming here, and they're traveling to Clemson. They do a lot of scrimmages, I know, within the team there where these guys get evaluated, especially the new guys that are coming in, or maybe a guy that was redshirted last year. What is the fall used for these teams, David?
Well, I got to believe in this day and era where you've got so much attrition in your roster in all sports, the falls and your off season are so very important to for a coach and a player to, one, develop how you want your team to grow, and you got to find out what you're going to get. There's very few guys that you've had 2 or 3 years of tenure, very few. So falls are very important. And I think for Alabama baseball, as you said, they have fall exhibition where they're going to play Lipscomb and then going on the road to play in at Clemson, where obviously they have a great baseball program and platform and where they've set a high standard. So really good to see. And also you get to play under the light, so to say, but not in a real setting. So it'll be great to see And hopefully, you know, those dates that are put out there. And if you want to get, if you're a little itching for some baseball during football season, you can go out there and gates are always open to watch a little Alabama baseball.
Yeah, that.
Young pitchers that try to pitch and get, do they need a lot of teaching on the grip of the baseball? Is the grip of the baseball the most important thing as far as throwing the different kind of pitches? I know that's an elementary question, but we got some elementary people listening. Is that that trying to teach your kids the grip of the baseball is important? Is it very, very important?
The grip is always important, Coach, and I think for and it's just like golf and all sports. You heard Jerry talk about it. Is I think it's with once you learn the, you know, you get the grip. A pitcher has to pitch with conviction. You got to believe it, and you've got to know when to throw it in certain counts. It's one thing to have a good changeup grip or develop a slider, but you got to have conviction with it and understand your release points. And it's a fluid, like a golf swing where, you know, everything can be just right, but you didn't turn your hips turn before your club was coming through there. And it's just the same thing in a pitching rotation when your shoulders fly open before your hips. I mean, doesn't matter how good your grip is. So you're absolutely right. That's kind of elementary, sort of say. But I think as you've learned, when you get to college, you have to develop another pitch. Most of the time in high school, you can get away with a fastball and one-off speed pitch. But most guys that are pitching on the weekends or pitch five, six-plus innings have minimum three pitches. So, yes, absolutely. You got to have a good grip.
We're talking with David Kendrick. David, let's talk a little football real fast. Alabama's going over to Georgia. Let's be honest. Since this staff has been here, they haven't played very well on the road. They did play well at LSU. LSU, they played good that game. But the other games, they haven't played well. Do you address that, or do you just hope it works itself out? Do you look at what you're doing when you travel? All sports are different. I know you guys probably had some places when you were at Alabama or Ole Miss where you struggled at certain places, or maybe you struggled on the road some. What can Alabama do now? But now on the flip side, Georgia has struggled against Alabama. So one of those is going to change this weekend, and the other fan base or the losing team is going to be screaming. But what can Alabama do to get on the road, get in front of a crowd, and play better than they've been playing?
I think we talked a little bit about at times where you're struggling, and like you said, you teed it up. Alabama football on the road outside of the LSU game last year struggled under the DeBoer era, but the reality is these kids and this staff this year don't give a rip about what happened last year. But at the same time, that's your resume as a coaching staff. And I think for Coach DeBoer, I think obviously I don't know what the I think they're underdogs. I suppose it's 2.5, 3 point spread. Regardless of what it is, they're going in there with everybody not expecting them to win. I think most people would say that. They sound for your Alabama fans, but if you were a person on the other side, it's probably not the favorite. So I think you got to go in there. And I think for the most part, last year, Alabama was a favorite on most of those road games and did not perform. And so it's a different side of the coin going to Georgia. And I think more of the pressure is on Kirby Smart. Because, you know, like again, you said it. Alabama has really owned Kirby Smart overall in the record book so far. So all the pressure is on Georgia, and I think that's where if you're a coaching staff, you got to keep it loose and just say, hey, kind of like Jerry Pate said, it's one shot at a time. It doesn't matter. It's the SEC, this massive SEC showdown. It's one shot. It's one shot at a time. It's one play at a time. And I know it's not a sexy coach speak say, but that's really for a team that's really still trying to find their way in identity. I think for Ty Simpson, I think he can't feel like he's got to win the game. I think he's obviously a great quarterback, and I think it's one of those where he can get in a rhythm and make him somehow have a good start on the first drive and not feel like they get behind the gun and have to throw it every single time. I think that's what it's going to come down to for Alabama, and hopefully the defense can hold up and not let Georgia pin their ears back and on defense, and if they get up a couple scores.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes the Alabama fans are unrealistic, but I, you know, I honestly don't blame the fan for being mad about the Florida State game. Not that they lost, it's just how they played. I mean, you would think the first game you're going to play with tremendous effort. So hopefully they go over there and play with tremendous effort. Not a, you're going to make a penalty or two, but not a bunch of dumb mistakes. And then I think you could probably live with it a little bit. But if you go over there and don't play with effort, then that's inexcusable in my opinion. David, your thoughts?
I heard Roman Harper talking yesterday, listening to him talk about how they – when his time in Alabama, when they arrived on the road, it was, hey, it's going to be loud. It's going to be ruckus. It's going to be mayhem because they came to watch the best show in town. And I think that came as a confidence level
sure.
of when you're winning. But I think there's something to that. Like, hey, you embracing the moment of, hey, you ain't going to be, this is what you signed up for, and you claim that you're the best in the business and playing at a marquee SEC school. You got to play with that confidence and play with your head on fire. And like I said, there's going to be penalties, but they don't need to be lack of effort or mental errors. We can live with the some excited and a lot of effort. But I really enjoyed Roman Harper talked about it. I think is because he's going to be doing the SEC Nation game out there. But he said he couldn't. I think Christian Miller asked him at the end of his interview who he picked, and he said he's making way too much money with SEC Network to give those type of picks that early. So, but it sounded like he was wearing his Alabama gear today. Probably will not be tomorrow. But I'm excited to watch that game. And I think Alabama has a chance as long as they don't get behind. 7+ points and can keep the game close. I think that's all you can ask for when you go on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, David, let's you guys do a great job at Bryant Bank. Tell us everything you guys got going over there, and if somebody wants to reach out to you guys, the best way to get in touch with you.
Hey, and I'm glad that y'all bring it up, and thank you for partnering with us. I had a customer of mine reach out to me over the weekend with all their business-related stuff. Had something happen, snafu, thought he had fraudulent activity. We're able to pick up the phone and help them answer that. And that's the one thing that we bank on and say it, Bryant Bank. All the product, there's a lot of other banks out there, and the product offerings are very similar in nature, but we're going to develop a relationship with you. We have a microscope that we want to see West Alabama individuals and businesses thrive. So give us a call. Check us out at BryantBank.com. Call us up. We're going to talk to you and see what we can do to make those dreams come true.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, Dave.
Guys,
thank you.
All right, there, David with Bryant Bank. Y'all, we take the break here. We get Coach Sonny Smith. And you think Sonny knows Alabama and Georgia are playing?
No.
Do you think he knows the Ryder?
He doesn't even know A&M and Auburn's playing.
Do you think he knows the Ryder Cup's going on?
Oh, Ryder Cup. He knows something about NASCAR.
We do a lot better. We have people call and talk to Sonny. So if we can actually catch Sonny, you want to call and talk to him? And you're more than welcome to do that as well. You listen to Tide 104.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We got a little fender bender. You're traveling on McFarland Boulevard on the westbound lanes at University Mall Circle. Now, this has traffic pretty tight in the immediate area. Your backup is to just shy of Hargrove Road. Hargrove Road also has some heavies right there at the intersection of
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today, a small chance of a shower this afternoon, the high 83. For tonight, clear and pleasant, the low 62. The weekend, warm and dry, partly sunny tomorrow and Sunday, highs between 84 and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
You ran crying to the bedroom. I ran off to the bar. Another piece of heaven gone to heaven. The words we spoke in anger just tore my world apart. And I sat there feeling sorry for myself. Then an old man sat down beside.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Will bring in the NABC District 6 Coach of the Year, Ohio Valley Coach of the Year, two-time SEC Coach of the Year, CAA Coach of the Year, Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. His name swings in the rafters at Neville Arena. Coach Sonny.
Wayne's all right.
Sonny Smith.
Is Wimp criticized me before he even get on?
No, no, I said it swung the rafters. Swings in.
Yeah. You didn't get a call this week from Stephen Pearl, did you, Coach? Maybe let me come back, be an assistant with him?
Well, I called him and told him I was available. He said, "Who's calling, please?"
Yeah.
And he knew who it was. But what's your thoughts on Stephen Pearl being the head coach at Auburn?
I think if he can keep all the players there, I think the timing of it probably helps him retain most of the roster there. I think if Coach Pearl would have done it in the summer, probably would have made it very difficult. That's a tough act to follow, Bruce Pearl, though. But, I mean, he's got to take it and run with it. Tough act to follow. Coach Pearl did an amazing job there, didn't he, Coach?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Bruce Pearl is not only a great coach, but he's a great man for the job as far as the communities are concerned, getting out and doing things for different things that need to be worked on by the coaching staff. He was great at with the public. Bruce Pearl was tremendous. To be honest with you, I think he was a better coach than I thought he was. He was really good because I got to go to practice and see how he prepared, and he was really good at that part of the game.
Also. You know what? Also, I liked about him, they came up here and they practiced in my gym, and when he's talking to me, I mean he didn't big time anybody. A lot of these guys be so successful, they just kind of blow you off. I mean, he always takes time for everybody, regardless of who you are. That always impressed me about Bruce Pearl.
Well, it impressed me about a lot of people, but your father is one of them that I wasn't impressed. He never did talk good about me.
Yeah.
I always pumped him up and said great things about him.
True. I bragged on you all the time.
I think it's jealous.
Jealousy.
I bragged on him all the time.
He introduced me to people I was never got to know. Of course, he didn't know him either, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Were you surprised at the timing of this? He said he didn't decide till Sunday. I don't know if that's true. I was surprised. Were you surprised?
Was I surprised that he resigned?
Yeah, yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, that you were surprised.
I'm not surprised that he resigned, but I was surprised when he did it.
Yeah.
I thought he'd put it in a situation where they could make a big, big deal out of it, give him something, that type of thing. Bruce Pearl's been a tremendous coach here. You don't have to look at very far to see how good his records was here.
Yeah.
Well, Sonny, I'm going to tell you right now, in your era, you were just good. We went through a different deal, and it was not easy for Bartow or you or I, I think since he's not going to get in politics, It was a shock to me, because you can wake up there. I have a feeling that behind the scenes he must be going to get in television.
I don't think the politics thing is out of the works yet. I think I don't know that though, because I haven't talked with him. But I think politics is a way for him to go, because he's very, very popular with people. He really is.
Well, I learned last night with a phone call from Jimmy Ray, one of our sponsors, that financially, I didn't know whether he had the money to run or whether he said he was, the money part to run was but not going to be a problem with him. The Jewish people come out.
Well, I don't think he would have any problem with that.
Because Tommy, of course, is going to be our governor. And Tuttle's going to be the governor, no doubt about it. So it's going to be interesting to see if he does run. He talked like he was not, so I don't really know.
When they have the inauguration for Tommy, you and I are going to go together, because we're two of his biggest backers.
I went on a lot of trips with him when I was working for Jimmy, and he's all right. What did you and the Gummers think about Auburn kind of getting a screw in that football game? Did you know that football game? They thought the fish.
I saw it. I was looking.
Did the Gummers know about it?
Oh yeah, they're in a lynching mood right now.
Yeah,
we're trying to find the right tree. We're trying to find the right tree to hang them the next time I catch them. I'm in charge of the tree. I got to get one with limbs on it though. You know, I haven't been able to find one.
Y'all can't climb up, no.
I tell you, I've thought about this a lot, and I just wanted to throw it out there. I think what should happen in the state of Alabama is Wimp and I should run for the governor. And he can be the governor, and I'll be the lieutenant, or I'll be the governor, and he can be the lieutenant. But
get me the vote.
You think y'all could win?
I don't.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. I could get all the Alabama votes. I don't know where Wimp would get his votes or not.
Uh-oh. There you go. All right. Auburn travels to Texas A&M this weekend. Then they got Georgia at home. What a tough stretch for this football team. Have to go to Oklahoma and go to A&M, and then you got Georgia at home. Just your thoughts about what direction that program's headed.
Well, you correct me if I'm wrong. Auburn, you can't tell how good Auburn is.
Mm-mm.
I think they could win a big, big game, and I think they could lose a game they should win. I mean, it doesn't look to me like a team that they're coming to town, you better get ready, because they really got it. I never hear anybody say that Auburn is a great team. They're going to go far. I know that Auburn is a good team, but I don't know how good they are.
Yeah, that.
I forgot what I was going to ask you, Barry. I had something. The NASCAR thing. Someone in NASCAR get killed? Anything happen in NASCAR that I need to know?
No deaths that I know about. And there's a lot of wrecks. They have a lot of wrecks every race. That's a good thing. Everybody loves to see the wrecks. But nobody has been seriously hurt that I know of.
Okay.
Anything, Alabama travels to Georgia tomorrow night. Your thoughts about that? When Alabama's beating Kirby's 1-6 against Alabama, something like that. But Alabama's not played that well on the road. Georgia's won 33 straight at home. What is it about the home field advantage? I guess when you have home field and really good players, you win a lot of games, don't you?
I think it's got to do with Atlanta, Georgia filling up the stadium. And I think they're awfully good at home. And I think Alabama might be in a little trouble there. But Alabama's got a great team also.
Yeah, Yeah. So, all right. Well, what you got planned for the weekend?
Well, I got a new seat. Uh-oh. They bought me a new chair. I'm going to sit in that chair a little bit more than I normally do, which usually it's 24 hours. Now I'm going to only get about 20 today. I think I'm going to get out and walk around through the community so people will know I'm still alive.
Well, I'm sure they'll be happy to see you. So, well, you be careful out there.
I'm happy to be on your show because y'all are the only ones that even ask me anymore.
Is that right?
What have I done?
I guess you're in too many Hall of Fames. They think it cost them too much to have you on.
It's called old age. It's called old age. I've never had your father ever say a good thing about me. No. And I'm the only friend.
I don't know
I'm the only friend he's got, Barry.
I know. Have a great weekend, Sonny.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good weekend,
all right.
Too.
All right. There's Coach Sonny Smith. All right. Let's tell him about, we already talked about Bryant Bank. But you tell him again, Dad, about our great friends over at Bryant Bank and why you do all your banking over there.
Well, the Bryant Bank is outstanding. Four locations, as I talked about, in the Tuscaloosa area. If you go by Bryant Bank and tell me you heard on Inside the Locker Room, I think you'll be pleased to open up a business personal account. They'll do a good job for you.
Also, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. Look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. Want rid of Toyota? You can do it right there at the website. Swing by Skyland Boulevard. Justin, as he tells you every Wednesday, they're not in love with anything. These guys will take absolutely great care of you. So swing by there today and go to the website and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. When we get back, we'll get the vinegar tip. We're struggling right now in the Ryder Cup, Chase. We're not even winning a match. We got all square. We're four down, and one down, and all square. So, not good. You listen to Top 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Traveling on McFarland Boulevard on the westbound lane to add University Mall Circle. Now, this has traffic pretty tight in the immediate area. Your backup is to just shy of Hargrove Road. Hargrove Road also has some heavies right there.
Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
So good.
You know what that song means? It's time for the vinegar tip, brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. I had a guy yesterday, and I'm pulling it up here, who sent me an email about vinegar. So we're getting all kind of tips there. He said that he's got a pitcher of apple cider vinegar. 2 cups of white vinegar and a little Dawn with water, of course, will get the mildew and tar off a vehicle. So there's your next tip for today. What have we got for today?
Well, you know, all kind of headaches. Sometimes Sonny's a headache. Sinus headaches, persistent headaches. Migraine headaches is the worst. So we're going to talk about a migraine headache today. And so if you'll mix equal parts of apple cider vinegar and water. Now listen to me. Put it, mix it all up and put it in a saucepan. And bring the liquid to a simmer. Put it under a little bit of heat. And drape a towel over your head. And drape a towel. Now, this migraine headaches are bad now. Drape a towel over your head and lean over that pan. The towel will capture the vapors from what you've done. And they'll go up your nostrils, and the steam will be hot so that you got to do it carefully now or you burn yourself. So breathe in that vinegar-infused vapors for a total of about 75 breaths. Count your breaths. If you can count to 75, you're in business. Breathe about 75 times, and then lie down in a darkened room. I'm telling you right now, I knew a buddy of mine that had Ike Hibbett's son had migraine headache. So anyway, should it return, then you got to do it again. But it's going to be a lot better. Migraine headaches are hard to handle, so do exactly what I said. Put that in a soft pan. Put that towel over your head and lean over that pan and smell that vapor, and you'll get rid of that migraine headache.
There we go. That's it. There's a good one. Headaches, people do not want a headache. So that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200. Give him a call today, 205-752-8500 for home, life, auto, whatever you need. That is your guy. All right, get to the Yellowwood Highline. What's up, Cowboy?
Hey, Cowboy.
Barry and Coach. Hey, Coach, Barry, I heard somebody talking about this. Do you think the top teams right now in the Big Ten are considered better than the top four teams in the SEC?
Well, what are the top ten? What are the top four teams in the Big Ten?
I guess Oregon, Penn State,
Ohio State,
Indiana, USC's having a good year.
Yeah. All right. LSU, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Ole Miss.
I would say the Big Ten's better.
Yeah. I would say the top four are probably better. But as a conference, the SEC's stronger. So I think that's a problem we've got. The Big Ten top four schools are going to give their league more bump than the SEC's top four or five right now can do. Would you think that may be a pretty good?
I just think, you know, I think other than, you know, you start getting to Wisconsin, they can't beat nobody. Like, Wisconsin, no. we saw that up close.
They're starting to walk on center.
Yeah, Northwestern, Purdue, Rutgers, even Nebraska, Michigan State, they got a lot of bad. UCLA, they've already fired their coach. That's the difference. Yeah. They asked me, they're from middle down or so bad. The SEC was much deeper than them.
Right. Now, who do you all like in this Penn State-Oregon game?
Game's at Penn State.
I like Oregon.
Why is Penn State? Penn State's 3.5-point favorite, I think.
Where is it playing? Yeah.
Penn State.
I like Penn State. I like Penn State.
Who can bring more juice to motivate the team, James Franklin or Dan Lanning?
I think it's about even. Who do you think?
I think Oregon might be a little faster than them in skilled positions. But, you know, James Franklin is due to win a big game, but can he do it?
You would have thought this was the year Nebraska would finally win and beat Michigan, and they didn't. And so do you think this will finally be the year that Penn State will get over the hump? And Penn State's a 3.5-point favorite at home. I wouldn't be shocked for Oregon to go in there and beat them. Would you?
Yeah. No. No. Yeah. I wouldn't touch that on any blue plate, though. I'm not confident.
No.
Hey, now, here's another thing about the Big Ten. Lincoln Riley, and you might keep this in the back of your hat, he might be looking elsewhere, is complaining about playing a late game last Saturday night in L.A., and now he's got to come back and play this early game at Illinois. And this travel deal with these West Coast schools going
it's ridiculous.
East is that, all right, listen to this now. Oregon has already been to Northwestern 2 weeks ago. They go to Penn State tomorrow night. 2 weeks after that, they go back across the country. This is three cross-country trips in 6-7 weeks to Rutgers. Do you think that will get old on the coaching staff? Or the
get old on all of them. Players hate, those right. Big old guys sitting on those planes going that far back and forth, it gets old fast.
So that's why I always say, and I'm not buying the Oregon money and all this when Nike stocks can keep Dan Lanning at Oregon forever. But, that's something to keep in back of, because you remember last year, Nick Cronin complained about that in basketball. He kind of threw a fit.
Yeah.
Didn't he coach?
Well, basketball's even worse. You got a lot more games. So, anyway.
I just don't see these current that conference model. I mean, how can it stand up after 5 or 6 years of that? All that travel, I don't know.
I think it's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible for the kids. Hey,
I heard y'all's new promo today of your show. That's pretty good. You're from the gridiron too, Barry's what it's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Hardwood to the gridiron.
There you go. So, all right, Cowboy, have a great weekend.
All right, talking to you. I just thought that was a little food for y'all's thought.
There we go. You go. Stay tuned for the blue plate. It's coming next.
I want to hear that. I'm hungry.
There you go. All right, we'll take the break here then. The blue plate's coming. Brought to you by our great friend Brian Hart at Brian Hart Construction. You listen, Ty, 109, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
I feel nice. That sugar is fine.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Hart Construction. We'll talk to former NFL quarterback Hugh Millen. He'll preview Alabama and Georgia from his perspective. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll talk to Brent Beard. And we'll talk to Ray Carnes, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, good news for you. McFarland on the eastbound lanes at Hargrove Road. An accident came and went. Now, we do, however, still have pretty slow traffic on Hargrove there at McFarland, but that is intersection delays also. In the meantime, things have...
Those soft, fluffy, irresistible Kings of Wine sliders that make them a winner on game day. Pick some up this weekend in the bakery or deli section of your grocery store. Kings of Wine. There's nothing like it.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours.
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wanna play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right. You got no when to hold them. No when to fold them. Walk away.
blue plate special. 4-2. That's solid. If we need strength and precision and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. That is Brian Harden Construction. What is the blue plate for this week?
Well, everybody said take Tennessee, and it's 7.5 now, Barry. Correct. I just looked at 7.5 on
still 7.5.
And I decided not to take it.
All right. Well, that's the weed eater. That's your weed eater pick. So.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. Pittsburgh and Louisville really went big. And they played Pittsburgh, and I liked that one, but I didn't take it. And I looked at Kansas State in Central Florida. And Kansas State's playing at home. Central Florida's, they're getting 6, and that's a lot of points. Well, Central Florida's scoring a lot. So I took one that nobody's interested in because I think it's a winner. That's what I like to do. So I like to take one that nobody's interested in. So, the blue plate this week is take Kansas, a basketball school, and give 4.5. They're at home against Cincinnati. Kansas 3-1. Cincinnati 2-1. Cincinnati gets 4.5. Kansas is playing at home. And let me tell you, folks, the guy at Kansas, players win games, but the guy at Kansas can really coach. I mean, this Booker Bear can really coach them. He'll have them well prepared, and I got you a winner with Kansas.
There you go. So Kansas, and the line is perfect. That way we don't have to argue, Chase. It's 4.5. So you got Kansas minus 4.5 versus the Cincinnati Bearcats. When is that game? Tomorrow, 11 a.m. That game's on TNT. I didn't even know TNT did football, but it's on TNT.
I'll be bragging early.
Yeah, so you'll be watching the Ryder Cup on one TV. In Kansas and Cincinnati on the other.
A third TV I got to do some work on.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today. That's it for the week's show. Georgia, Alabama, who you picking, Dad? Georgia or Alabama? Oh, he's gone. He don't have to pick. I think Georgia gets it done. Unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong. I'm wrong a lot. I think Georgia will win 28-24. There you go. All right, that's it for today's show. Keep it locked in. Gary's out at the Innisfree. He'll be ready to go. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great sports weekend, everybody.